We had begun chapter 15 last week. Let's start the chapter again. And I think I'm going to suggest that in future you should have with you an entire Tanakh. I think a whole Tanakh, in addition to a Malachim, a whole Tanakh is going to be important, because there are going to be references that we're going to have to make to Divrei Hayamim. We're simply not going to be able to understand chapters here without seeing what it says in Divrei Hayamim. Today I'll just have to do the job for you, but you have to have a whole Tanakh with you. And I think that those of you who are taking notes someplace, you're going to have to take a page. sounds like a university course. Someplace you're going to have to take a page in order to begin the listing of the kings of Yehuda and the kings of Israel, because there's going to be a little bit of confusion from time to time with regard to the dating, how many years a particular king reigned and ruled, and in what year of his reign did the next king come. And there's going to be very very fascinating things. Anyway, let's begin again. We had gone till the end of Pasuk Hey, but we're concerned about dating now. Ubishnat Shmona Esrei Lamelech Yerovam Ben Nevat, in the 18th year of Yerovam Ben Nevat, Molach Aviyam Al Yehuda, Aviyam became king over Yehuda. Remember, the king of Yehuda had been Rechavam. And now it is his son Aviyam who becomes king after him. Rechavam, if I'm not mistaken, Rechavam was king for how many years? Gedankach finished, huh?
22.
Huh?
Rechavam?
Yerovam is 22.
17,
very good. Rechavam was 40 years old when he became king. Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, who was king for 17 years, which means that now Aviyam, who is the king who follows him, his son, is the one who now becomes king in the 18th year of Yerovam ben Nevat. There's going to be another little bit of confusion that's going to come up now. Yerovam's son is also going to be have nearly the same name. This Aviyam in Divrei Hayamim is called Aviyah, or Aviyahu, and and we had already the son. Who was the son of Yerovam, the one who took ill and then died? That was Aviyah, the one whom the wife of Yerovam had gone to Achiah Shiloni, and Achiah Shiloni had told her, when you step foot into the city, he is going to die. He was Aviyah. Why Aviyah, the son of Rechavam, is called Aviyam? I only saw one of the modern Mefarshim who wants to say, in order to differentiate between their Aviyah and their Aviyah, in Yehuda they called their Aviyah Aviyam. This our Aviyam. Or I was thinking of Yerushalayim, like, there are two Yud Mem at the end, that there are two Aviyams. But the one is ours and one is theirs. Shalosh Shonim Malach Yerushalayim, for 3 years he was king of Yerushalayim, and his mother's name was Macha Bat Avi Shalom. We will see more about her. Vayelid b'chol chatot aviv asher asal lefanav, he went in all the sins of his father before him. And of course we showed the ambivalence of this pasuk. The assessment of him seems to be at first a negative one, but then it switches when it says, "V'lo hayalav avu shalom im Hashem elokav." His heart was not complete with God. His God, kilavav David aviv, like the heart of his father of David, kilaman David. This pasuk is important because what this pasuk is saying is that Aviyah could have been a great king, but instead of being a great king, he became no more than a link in the chain. In the final analysis, his kingdom was because God had promised to David that there will not be a break in the kingdom. So therefore, he became the one who fulfilled that. He could have been great, but he wasn't. Kilaman David, Natan Hashem Elokav Lo Nir Yerushalayim. Because for David's sake, God gave him rule in Yerushalayim. It could have been for his own sake, but it turned out to be for David's sake. L'hakim et b'no acharot, to establish his son afterwards, u'l'ha'amid et Yerushalayim, and that Yerushalayim should remain as the capital of Israel. Asher also David et ha'yoshar b'yeni Hashem. David did that which was right in the eyes of God. V'lo sor mikol asher sivo koyim echayiv. He did not turn from all that God had commanded him all the days of his life. That's quite a statement, not only to make about a king, but even to make a statement of that sort about any individual, that he just did not turn from that which he had been commanded all the days of his life. That, of course, bidvar Uriah Chiti, which means that he is completely absolved now of any crime with regard to Bathsheba, and even with regard to Uriah Chiti, it was a something that was done sort of indirectly. David is not accused of having murdered Uriah. And for that matter, the Gemara says that Uriah was deserving of a death sentence by virtue of the fact that he had acted rebelliously toward David. Despite all of that, it remains a stain on David. Now, this is an interesting pasuk. It's interesting because we've already ended Rechavam's reign. We are already in Avion's reign. Why this throwback of pasuk that tells us that there was war between Rechavam and Yerovam all of their days?
It's also a repeat of the pasuk
in the previous parak. It's a repeat, yes. It's a repeat of the pasuk in the previous parak.
30.
Yes. Umilchama haita bein Rechavam ubein Yerovam kalayamim. So, right. So the point why it's mentioned over here is in order to tell us that if we are to understand Aviam, who comes after Rechavam, the way in which he conducted himself was so much determined by the conduct of his father. The comment is being made now in order to say that this is going to carry on, and take a look at the next pasuk. The rest of the things, the words of Aviyam, or the rest of the things that happened with Aviyam and all that he did, Halohim Ksuvim, I'll say for Divrei Ayom Lemalchi Yudah, in the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Yudah, Umilchama Haita Bein Aviyam Ubein Yerovam. There was war between Aviyam and Yerovam. The point being, he simply, when a state or a government enters upon a certain policy, it's very, very difficult to stop and go in reverse. It's difficult. The pattern had been set by his father, and that's why the pasuk is repeated here in order to tell us that yes, it plays itself out again in the life of Yerovam, of Aviyam. Vayishkav Aviyam Avotav, Aviyam died. Vayikbro Tovir David, and they buried him in the city of David. Vayimloch Asa beno Tachtav, and his son Asa ruled in his place. We're going to have now, so we have Aviyam, and we're going to have Asa. Now, Aviyam, for those of you who, most of you I see weren't, but I talked about Aviyam, Aviyahu, I spoke about him in a Chumash year, Parshat Achrei Mot and Kedoshim, and I will briefly go over that because it's extremely extremely important in order to be able to assess Aviyah's reign. There is so much more in Divrei Hayamim. There is so much more about Aviyah than we have here, and of course there is the famous battle and the speech of Aviyah. I'm going to read, and you'll be able to sit back and listen. I will tell you exactly. I have to get there first. I have to get there. Vus veisich. When I'll find the place. Okay. Chapter 13 of Divrei Hayamim Bet. I'm sorry. Divrei Hayamim Bet, chapter 13. And the fact is that also comes afterwards, there are going to be two chapters in Divrei Hayamim that are simply don't appear here. All sorts of things that happened in the reign of Asa, I'm not told here. Let's talk about Aviyah. I mean, I can create so many problems for myself if I read everything that it says over here. There's another strange thing. His mother has a different name in Divrei Hayamim than she has in... No, Vayimlach Aviyah al Yehuda. Chapter 13, let's see. Shohan, Divrei Hayamim. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. That's going to come up soon, yes. In Divrei Hayamim, the name of his mother is Michoihu Bat Uriel Min Givah. Umilchama, chapter 13, pasuk 2. Umilchama haitam ben Aviyah ben Yeravam. There was war between Aviyah and Yeravam. Vayesor Aviyah tamilchama. I'm going to tell you what happened. He prepares for war with an army of mighty men, 400,000 men. This is what the two armies are going to gather on the field of battle. There are going to be 400,000 men with Aviyah, and there are going to be 800,000 men with Yeravam. And these two major armies are now facing one another. You understand? The forces of Yisrael, Israel, 10 tribes, twice as many as the forces of Yehuda. It's 800,000 against 400,000. And who's the one that goes out to war? The war is initiated by Aviyah with his 400,000 men. The Yeravam orach milchama b'shmona meot elef ish b'chor gibor chayil. Yeravam has 800,000 men. Then comes the speech of Aviyah, and this is what we talked about a few weeks ago in the parasha. Vayakom Aviyah me'al har tzmarim. Aviyah got up on the top of Mount Tzmarayim, which is in the mountain of Ephraim, and he said, Shmo'uni Yeravam v'chol Yisrael, hear me, Yeravam and all of Israel. Halo lachem ladat, you have to know. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael, God, the God of Israel, Natan Mamlacha LeDavid al Yisrael Olam, the God of Israel gave kingdom to David over Israel forever. Lo ulabanav, to him and to his children, Brit Melach. This is a covenant of salt, which lasts forever. Vayakom Yeravam ben Nevat Eved Shlomo. And what happened? Yeravam ben Nevat, who had been the slave of Shlomo, the son of David, he arose by Yimrod al Adonav, and he rebelled against his master. Remember, this is all Yeravam. You have to imagine the scene. You have to imagine the scene. He's standing on the top of the mountain, 400,000 men on one side, 800,000 men on the other side. This is a great spectacle, you understand. They have the cavalry ready, and they have men with their spears and their swords and the archers. It's an unbelievable scene, and here comes the great oration of Aviyah. By Yeravam ben Nevat, the rebelled against his master. By Yikav Tzvalov Anoshim Reikim ben Ebelial, and who gathered around Yeravam? Empty people, evil people surrounded him. By Yitantzual Rechavam ben Shlomo, and they were strong. They ranged themselves against Rechavam the son of Shlomo, Urechavam Hayanar. My father, Rechavam, at the time was young, Barach Levav, you know, maybe who lo hayam matin, you know, he was unsuited for the kingdom. He was nar Barach Levav, below it chazeg lufnem, and he didn't stand up with enough strength against them. Viato, and now, atem omrim, lehit chazeg lufnem memlechet Hashem, you want to wage war with the kingdom of God. He doesn't see himself as the kingdom of Aviyah, the kingdom of God, which is Biyad B'nei David, in the hands of the sons of David. Ba'atem Ahamon Rav, and you are a mass of people, V'imachem Eg Lezov, but you know what else you have? You have the golden calves. Asher also lachem Yeravam Lalehim, that Yeravam made unto you for gods. Halohi Dachten et Kohanei Hashem, you have shunted aside, you've driven out the priests of God, that B'nei Aaron Alevim, the sons of Aaron, the Levim, batasu lachem kohanim, and you made unto yourselves kohanim ka'amei ha'aratzot, plain people, kol habolim alei yado, anybody who comes to assume office, the par ben bokar, the elim shivim, v'hoyakoyim l'lo elo him, anybody who's going to bring sacrifices becomes a priest to that which is not a god at all. V'anachnu, we the people of Yehuda, Hashem Elokeinu, we are with God, with our God, v'lo azavnuhu, we did not forsake him. V'chohanim mishartim l'Hashem, by us, who is it that serves God, real kohanim? V'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron, and the Levim b'melechet, and the Levim are at their service. Umaktidim l'Hashem, and we bring us incense for God, and we bring sacrifices, olot, patoke, patoke, every morning, u'be'edev, be'edev, every evening. And we have the incense, the show bread is on the table, Hator, the pure one, and the candelabra of gold, which we light every other. We're doing everything exactly the way God determined it in Torah. You have turned away from God, you have rejected his law. And we continue, Kishomdim anachnu et mishmeret Hashem Elokeinu, because we continue to keep the laws of God, our God, va'atem azavtem oto, you forsook him. V'hinei imanu barosh, you know who stands at our head, you know who our leader is? Elokim. God is our leader. V'chohanav, and his priests, v'chatzotzrot ha'truah, and they have the trumpets with which to blow, l'hodi aleichem. Bnei Yisrael says to them now, Al ti lochamu im Hashem Elokei Avoteichem. When you wage war with us, you're waging war with the God of our fathers. Don't do it. Ki lo tatzlichu, because you're simply not going to succeed. And the battle begins. Yes? What did I say? What's the...
I don't understand how a man standing on a mountain top with 800,000 people is not allowed to be ready. Who is he really speaking to? How can 800,000 people prepare? Nobody's stood still for what he's saying.
If you've ever gone on a tour of Eretz Yisrael, there are places in Eretz Yisrael where you can stand on a mountain and your voice is going to carry better than it does with this mic. And more than that, Sarah, you are a pious woman. If the Navi says that Aviyah spoke to 1,200,000 people, you better believe it. Okay. The scene is magnificent. And the,
We were in Bataan some time ago. You know, we're in Bataan in the north of the coast.
Yes.
Right? And you could see Ramot from Bataan.
Yeah, but we're talking not about seeing, we're talking about hearing. There are places where you can hear, you can talk from one side of the mountain and be heard on the other side of the mountain. I mean, there's no question about it there.
The Indians did it with Tom Tom.
Let's go. The battle, now begins the battle. Not only does Yerovam ben Nevat have the advantage of double the number of soldiers, he has 800,000 men, but he's going to pull now a brilliant pincer movement in which Yehuda is going to be caught, trapped, surrounded. The chances of victory, certainly according to all the pollsters, the chances are that Aviah is going to be crushed in battle. It says, Yerovam heisevet ha'ma'arav, Yerovam moved the ambushing groups, lavo me'akareim, to come from behind them. He's going to end up, I don't know, with how many hundreds of thousands of men behind Yehuda, and hundreds of thousands of men in front. Vayiyu lifnei Yehuda v'ha'ma'arav v'akareim, they're in front, and the others are behind. Vayifnu Yehuda, and then Yehuda all of a sudden turns around, and they look this way, and they look that way. You can't go to the north, and you can't go to the south. They're caught in the middle. Hamilchama v'hinei lohem hamilchama panim ba'achor. The war is from front and from back. What did they do at this moment of awesome crisis? Vayitzhaku l'Hashem. They cried out to God. V'hakarnim mechatzrim v'chatzotzrot, and the karnim began to blow with their trumpets. V'yoriyu ish Yehuda, and the people of Yehuda shouted. V'yihi ba'ariya ish Yehuda, when the people of Yehuda shouted. V'elokim nigaf et Avraham v'chol Yisrael, and God smote Yerovam and all of Israel lifnei avio v'Yehuda, before avio v'Yehuda. The unexpected, the impossible happened. The threat, 400,000 into the valley of death, marched the 400,000, surrounded by double the amount of men. By your nusu b'nei Yisroel, b'nei Yehuda, b'nei Yisroel, fled from before Yehuda. By Yitnein Elokim b'yadam, God gave them into the hands of Yehuda. By Yaakov b'hem aviyah v'amo makorabah, aviyah and his people smote them a great smiting. By Yitlu chalolim Yisroel, and they fell, chamesh me'ot elef ish bachor, 500,000 men fell in battle. By the way, when we're talking about a battle in which a 500,000 men, Jews, fell in battle, this is not a small battle. Over here, maybe the question becomes a question that we will have to deal with on an ongoing basis. How is a battle of this sort not mentioned in Sefer Malachim? How do you not mention it in Sefer Malachim? It must have been but it's mentioned, right? Right. Battles of a lesser nature are mentioned in Shoftim and in Shmuel and in Malachim. And here's a battle of such proportions, and it's not mentioned. These are the kind of questions on the basis of which we're going to have to describe or define what Sefer Malachim is saying. What is it that is the goal and the objective of Sefer Malachim, and therefore this doesn't belong there? I mean, that's obviously the direction in which we're going to have to go. It may very well be that there are great battles. There are great battles, great in, you know, spectacular cast of over 1,000,000. And in the longer view of Jewish history, it leaves no impact, makes no impression. And then there can be battles in which much fewer people are involved, and maybe nobody falls in battle, and that struggle may have been more significant of a turning point in Jewish history. Only as an example. It could be possible that a struggle where not a shot was fired, but I'm talking about the elections. Struggle in which not a shot was fired, but somebody in the Likud over there, somebody Kudnik, was sure going to shot two bullets at somebody's leg. It's not only Kudnik, okay. There can be struggles in which no one will fall in battle that could potentially have a great deal more meaning for the ultimate destiny of the Jewish people. It's not numbers. Malachim is obviously, Sefer Malachim is making a statement about the kingdom. The battle was a battle. The battle was a tragic battle. Question is, in what respect was it a watershed of Jewish history? Divrei Hayomim has something else. There are going to be other things involved. Divrei Hayomim, I believe that this is an approach that I'm going to take you in the direction of that approach. It's safe that Divrei Hayomim wants to see things in terms of its ultimate messianic goal. There are things that we're going to learn from this battle. Now, what Aviyah recognizes, and all the clients will have to recognize, that the only way in which they're going to win in battle is if they're going to be on God's side. And if they're going to be on God's side, it's going to be Rabim who will fall into the hands of Ma'atim. The many are going to fall into the hands of the few. Now, there are moral lessons that we can learn from this. But in terms of what it meant historically, it was a profound tragedy. the battle was a profound tragedy. But remember, who smote them? God is the one who does it. Just let me read a little further. And it says that Avio pursued Yeravam, and he conquered from him cities, Beit El Vet Benotel, Vet Yeshona Vet Benotel, Vet Ethron Vet. This is the area of Beit El and Ophrah, all of those areas that we know below. And then, of course, the last pasuk, and this is what we talked about in the parashas here. We talked about the last pasuk of this battle. Below, Otsar Koach Yeravam Od Bimei Aviyahu. And Yeravam no longer had any strength left in the days of Aviyah. By Yigfeu Hashem, God struck him down, God smote him by Yomot, and he died. This is the pasuk that is that Chazal simply explode at. And when you read the pasuk, I'll read it again. Below Otsar Koach Yeravam Od Bimei Aviyahu, and Yeravam no longer had strength in the days of Aviyahu, by Yigfeu Hashem, God smote him by Yomot, and he died. Who did God smite, and who died? Yeah, who did God smite? Who did God smite? No, you're afraid to say the real answer. I mean, no, you're afraid to say what the pasuk is saying. The pasuk seems to indicate that Yeravam ben Nevat was struck down by God, and he died. Yeravam no longer had any strength in the days of Aviyah, and God struck him down, and he died. That's what you should think when you read the pasuk. The only thing is, when you're going to see the pesukim over here, and you're going to find out that Yeravam ben Nevat is king for how many years? Yeravam ben Nevat is king for 22. And what did it say at the beginning of this chapter? That in the 18th year of Yeravam, who becomes king in the 18th year of Yeravam Aviyah? How many years is he's king for 3 years. Aviyah's king for 3 years. So who dies before who? From the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, you're left with the impression that right after this battle, Yeravam had no strength anymore, and God smites him, and Yeravam dies. What are you talking about? Yeravam is dying. Yeravam is going to be around for 2 years after Aviyah dies. So here's the famous Gemara that I used in the parsha here, where the Gemara says the following. You read the pasuk and you think. Atosavor, you think that Yeravam died. Lo kein, it's not so. Do you know who died first? You know who the pasuk says was struck down by God? Aviyah. This is Aviyah who made that great speech. The Aviyah who said, we are the ones who serve God faithfully and fully. We place our trust and our faith in God. We are the good guys. And here he goes out to battle with only 400,000 men against 800,000. And God brings a tremendous victory through him. And the Gemara says, Atah Sofer, you think that Aviyah is, that Yeravam is the one who died? It's Aviyah who died. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeini. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeini says, Ato Sovur Loma, you think to say, Shiravam Nigav, that Yeravam was struck down by Alo Lo Nigav El Aviyah, Aviyah is the one who was struck down. How did he know that Aviyah was struck down? Because Yeravam is going to live for 2 years after comes the great Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Resh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, Al Yedei Shechizdan Berabi. Rabbi Yochanan says the reason why Aviyah was struck down is because this great speech that he gave them, which was a speech of tochacha, of musar, he gave them musar in public. That's not the way you give musar. What it really means is more than that. How much do you think musar is going to mean on the field of battle? What value is it going to have? Here are 1,200,000 men ready to do battle. What does he really expect? That he's going to tell them how terrible they are and how sinful they are, and that we are so pious and we're so religious. What does he really expect them to do? That they're going to lay down their arms? Tochacha, when you give tochacha, when you give musar, and there isn't a chance in the world that it's going to be accepted, that musar is wrong, says the Gemara. He attacked them in public, and that's what it says. You are a mass of people. and with you you have the golden calves of Yeravam. Second, Resh Lakish says, Ayidei Shebizol Achia Ashiloni. Resh Lakish says, in the Musa that he gave, he made a generalization. And you can't make generalizations. You can't say that all religious people or all Likudniks or all these or all merits people, you can't say that. You can't make broad generalities. And over here he said, you're all a bunch of empty, evil people. And you know who was there? Achia Hashiloni, the great Navi. There was one person there that didn't fit into that category. You dare not ever make the broad, ugly generalizations. That's why it says, by Yikotzwalov, who surrounded Yeravam and Nevat? Who are the people around him? Anoshim Rekim, empty people who are B'nai Belial, who are evil. There's a third opinion. I didn't discuss the third opinion with you when I gave the shir on the parasha. The third opinion is the Rabbanon. The person who gives tochacha has to be himself personally beyond and above reproach. And there were manifestations of idolatry in Yehuda that Abiyah had not removed. And as long as he had not removed them, then he is personally not perfect. And if he's not perfect, he can't say it. But Rabbanan Omri, the Rabbanan say, there was Avodazara, that he had the ability to remove it below Biara. He could have, and he didn't. And you know which Avodazara it's talking about? What was one of the cities that was conquered? Which city was captured in the battle? Betel. And he never removed the Egel from Betel. The Egel remained in Betel for another 150 years. You had it. It was within your hands. You could have removed it. And you didn't do it. You didn't do it. Which means that his personal piety left something to be desired. So here it is.
Rabbi,
yes.
So many things wrong. Why would he do this?
You see, God is able to differentiate between the klal, everybody, and Avia. The people of Yehuda were good. The people of Yisrael were bad. They deserved, therefore, to be destroyed in battle. But Avia had spoken out of turn. And because he spoke out of turn, so it's one man who spoke out of turn, because he spoke out of turn, should his whole army fall? No. So God is able to differentiate. At the same time that he gives a glep of Mbekel, he knows who to give a clap of an arm. Yes?
Is there anything in the Gemara about the extent of the murder, or not the murder, the bloodthirstiness of the battle, the 500,000? I think there's any battle that has that much.
I see absolutely no reason why they shouldn't. I would need, in other words, there's a big section in one of the Sfarim of the Maharal where the Maharal talks about numbers, and he deals with the numbers that appear in Gemara. For example, he deals with the Gemara that says in the city of Beitar that was destroyed by Hadrian, the last stand of Bar Kokhba. There were 400 Batei Knesset, and each one of the 400 Batei Knesset, I think, had 400 Rebbes who each taught 400 students. You keep making a cheshbon, the city of Beitar had a few million people. So he explains it all metaphorically, but when you're dealing with a pasuk in Torah, Tanakh, can't do the same thing. Now, in the speech of Abiyo, there is one other thing that he has done that he had no right to do. And that is, he delegitimized Malchut Yisrael, the kingdom of Israel. Who made Yerubim king? Yerubim was appointed king by God through Achi HaShilomi. The delegitimization of Malchus Yisrael was unjust. In that sense, he is also doing battle with God. God is the one who said that there's going to be a Malchus Yisrael because of the sins of Shlomo. It's going to be. That means it is a legitimate kingdom. You can't delegitimize it. You can't delegitimize it. All right, let's go further. There's so much over here. That's, next king. Ubishnat, back in Malachim. Meanwhile, back in Malachim. Ubishnat Esrim L'Yerovah Melech Yisrael Malach Asa Melech Yehuda. In the 20th year of Yerovah, that means this is already the third king of Yehuda who is going to begin to reign within the reign of Yerovah. In the 20th year of Yerovah, the king of Israel, Malach Asa Melech Yehuda. Asa, king of Yehuda, reigned. V'arboim V'achat Shana Malach Yerushalayim. He ruled for 41 years in Yerushalayim. A year more than David and Shlomo. David was a total of 40 years and Shlomo was a total of 40 years. David's 40 years were not, of course, 40 years in Yerushalayim. They were 7 in Hebron and 33 in Yerushalayim. Veshem Imo, and the name of his mother, Ma'acha Bat Avishalom. Now, she's not his mother. She's his grandmother. She's called the mother because she was the queen mother. She was sort of the grand old lady of Malchus Eisdavid. Vayas Asa Hayasha Beni Hashem Kitavid Asa did that which was right in the eyes of God as his father David. Vayavar HaKadeshim in Haaretz, he removed the Kadeshim in Haaretz. Kadeshim really means there was a prostitution in the land. He removed it from the land. He removed all of the idolatry that his fathers had made. Gamet Macha Imo, also his mother Macha, meaning queen mother, by Yisidah Migivira, he removed her from her position of being the matriarch of the kingdom. Asher Osta Mifletzet La Asherah, she had made a Mifletzet. How do they translate Mifletzet in anybody who has an English? An idol, huh? Monster, yeah. By us, a Mifletzet is a monster. An idol, an idol for the Asherah. An abominable image. All right. It was a very abominable. Abominable. It was a very abominable Egypt. according to Chazal, what she introduced was sexual promiscuity as part of the idolatry, that this Mifletzet was supposed to have been some kind of an obscene a male organ that she used in order to excite herself. In quite this is the kind of this is what she brought into to Eretz Yisrael. Vayichrot Asa et Miflatzta, he destroyed, he crushed her Miflatzta by Yisrof, and he burned it Benachal Kidron. Vahapamot lo saru, the high places were not removed. Rak levav Asa hayosholim im Hashem kol yom, the heart of Asa was complete with God all the days of his life. There's something important about the name Asa. Nobody really knows what the name Asa means. Maybe we didn't talk about Avia. The name Avia means God is my father. Avi, Netanyahu. God gave. You understand? God gave. Only an example, you understand? Okay. I saw one of the modern Mepharshim says something something very beautiful, and we're going to try and elaborate on this. Asa in Aramaic means a doctor or a medicine. The halachic medical journal of Shari Tzedek is called Asya. A doctor is an Asya. Asya, the Gemara says, Asya da Asya, the magain, magain shavya. That's Aramaic, which means a doctor, Asya da Asya, a doctor who heals or treats. Magain for nothing, magain shavya is worth nothing. You don't go looking for bargains when you go looking for a doctor, Nora says. If he charges nothing, he's worth nothing. Okay. I mean, it isn't always true, you know, sometimes you can have a close friend or something. But in a general rule, ask you the Magen Magen Shafi. That it's a Gemara in Masechta de Bavit Kama in the seventh Perek HaChovel. I'm a number of days, but I can't remember. I mean, I can look up the source for it. One of the Mepharshim says, I think this will be borne out. When he came to power, the main objective of his kingdom had to be to heal the rift in the nation. It was his job after the terrible battle in the days of Avia, where 500,000 people fell in battle, which means that following that battle, can you imagine the rift, the tear between Yehuda and Yisrael? It must probably have reached the point where they could no longer be brought together again. But the task that the Hashgacha, that the divine providence had for him was to heal, first of all, the rift within the nation. Sounds very familiar. And that's why he was called Asa. Because that became the most important agenda of Melech Yehuda. He had to realize, as his father should have realized, that you cannot delegitimize Yisrael, because Yisrael, the 10 tribes, had been in fact brought into being by an act of God. You can't delegitimize them. So what are you going to do? You're going to have two peoples. Maybe it's better to say you're going to have one peoples in the land. And they're going to be torn apart. There have to be bridges that are to be built between Yehuda and Yisrael. That really is the task of Asa. And therefore he's called Asa symbolically to point out he has to heal the rift. He's going to have 41 years in which to do it. He's going to reign longer than most of the other kings. There may be one or two kings afterwards who will reign. Menashe is going to reign for 55 years. A terrible, terrible reign. But he's going to have 41 years in which to do a job. Very little is going to be said about Asa here in Malachim. Now maybe the symbolism is going to will be taken a little further. Asa, toward the end of his life, is going to take ill. He's about the only one of the Malchei Yehuda you saw, for that matter, one of the only characters in all of Tanakh that we're told about an illness in his legs. Huh? Yeah, but he didn't die from it. And they didn't tell us what his illness was. All it said about Chizkiyahu is that he took ill, and we've talked about the Yeshayahu coming to be Mevakar Chayla and tell him you're going to die from this illness. All right? Here and in Divrei Yom, it's going to say his legs. In Divrei Yom, it's going to seem, and he's condemned for it. You can't have to see the Pesukim. He's condemned for the fact that he turned to doctors and he didn't turn to God. another symbolism in his name. What he should have done is symbolized in his name, and his downfall is symbolized in his name. The healer, the one who should have healed the nation, is the one who goes to healers and does not turn to God when he should have, and therefore he's the only one that we're told by all the others. It doesn't say what they died from. There isn't another, a single person about whom it says that he took ill, and what the illness was, whatever kind of illness it was, and that he died from that illness. Only Asa, he's the only one. Despite the fact that, take a look at the report, take a look at the assessment of Asa here in Malachim. Let's read another few psukim in Malachim. So far he's doing everything well. First, Pasuk said, Pasuk 11 said, Asa did Hayoshar Be'enei Hashem Kid David Avid. He did that which was right in the eyes of God, as his father David did. We're up to Pasuk 15. And he brought that Kodshei Aviv, that which had been made holy by his father, the Kodshei Beit Hashem, and that was made holy by the house of God, Kesef, Vizor, Vechelim. It doesn't even tell us here. Doesn't even tell us here something that is a major pedek in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. You remember we talked last week about the invasion of Shishak Melech Mitzrayim. Shishak Melech Mitzrayim invades, and what does he take with himself? He takes with himself all of the wealth. Of Yosef, that wealth that had come from Mitzrayim, he takes it. And we are told in the Gemara how this wealth is going to change hands. If Yosef, Jews take it out of Egypt, they have it until the times of Rechavam. Shishak, king of Egypt, comes and takes it, and symbolically it means that the weight of history is moving away from Klal Yisrael in the direction of Egypt. Egypt is going to become the major player in the ancient Middle East. Meanwhile, what we're not told about is that Ethiopia, Kush, goes to war with Mitzrayim, and they take from Mitzrayim all of this great wealth. But Asa is now going to be attacked by the Kushites, and the Kushites are going to bring with them to battle all of this wealth. By the way, Josephus and others say that they used to bring their wealth out to battle in order to spur the soldiers on, that soldiers should see the wealth that they're fighting for. They should have to know that in the event that we lose, oh yeah, all your jewelry, huh? What? Bring all your jewelry out to battle.
It's not the kings.
It belongs to the people. It's the kingdom. So there's going to be a whole war, and that's all you need to say. There's going to be a whole battle between Asa and he's going to bring all of that wealth back. In this one passage that it says the holy things of his father, it's encompassed in that one passage is a whole paragraph in Divrei Hayamim. Now here you're beginning to see again the pattern. There was war between Asa and Basha, king of Israel, all of their days. We don't even know yet about Basha becoming king of Israel. We're talking now about Asa, and from Asa, in a little while we're going to find out about Basha. That means there is somebody that has taken over. Yerovam has already passed on the scene, and it's now Basha. Here's going to be something terribly important. This is an idea that keeps repeating itself a number of times in Tanakh. Here is most probably the first time, and this is going to set a terrible pattern for Jewish history. Vayal Basha Melech Yisrael al Yehuda, Basha, the king of Israel, comes against Yehuda, Vayiben et HaRoma, and he built Roma. Levilti Tate Yotzeva Bola Asa Melech Yehuda. Roma most probably is someplace right at the end of Malchus Yehuda, say, after the Nevei Yaakov, you have someplace around there, you have Ramah. He built a major fortification. Huh? By Elbira, around there, yes. He built a major fortress so that nobody can come out or go in to the kingdom of Yehuda. You know what's really happening? The same Asa who was supposed to heal the rift between the two, as a result of his actions, what happens is sort of the Great Wall of China is now being built between Yehuda and Yisrael. Vayikach Asa, so what does Asa do? Now I'm telling you, there are 3-4 psukim here that will take 2 chapters in Divrei Hayamim. Vayikach Asa kol hakesef hazav hamotarim ba'otzrot beit Hashem. All the gold and silver that was still in the... You know which gold and silver this is? Yes, it's that, according to the Gemara, it's that same gold and silver that he now got back in battle against Cush, at Otzrot Beit HaMelech, and the Otzrot of the king, v'yitnein biyadav, he gave it into the hands of the servants, v'yishlochem HaMelech Asa el Ben Hadad, Ben Tavrimon, Ben Chezion, Melech Aram, Hayoshe, B'damesek, Leimor. He sent all of that wealth, by choice, he sent all of that wealth to Ben Hadad, who is the king of Damascus. And this is what he says to him. Brid, you got to listen to this. Brid beini ubeinecha, there is a covenant between me and you, ubein avi ubein avicha. You know, there was a covenant between my father and your father. Hine shalachti lecha shochad kesef v'zahav. I have sent to you shochad. You have to give the man credit for calling a spade a spade, or calling a shochad a shochad.
Well, the translation only says
present.
Present. Huh? Shochad is bribery.
Yeah. Is the, I don't know, I don't think there is a place in all of Tanakh where the word shochad is used in a positive manner. Shochad is plain bribe, graft. Lech hafeiro et britcha et basha melech Yisrael v'yaleh v'yalai. They had, Basha, king of Israel, had an alliance with Ben-Hadad. He's paying off Ben-Hadad in order to break the alliance. V'yaleh v'yalai, so you should go up for me. V'yishma Ben-Hadad ala melech Asa, Ben-Hadad, listen to King Asa. And Vayishlach et Sarei HaChayalim Ashelo al Ora Yisrael, and he sent his officers against the cities of Israel. Vayach, and he smote Eon, Bet Don, Bet Obel, Beit Machol. These are all cities up in the north. Bet Kol Kinrot al Kol Eretz Naphtali, the whole area of the Kinneret, and Eretz Naphtali. What, isn't one of the Druze cities up in the north Marj Iyun?
Marj
Iyun. That's this Iyun. That part of the name has remained until today. Vayehi kishmo Basha, when Basha heard that there's an attack coming from the north, vayechda mibenotat haroma, he stopped building Ramah. This was the great division, the great wall between Yehuda and Yisrael. Vayeshev b'Tirzah, and he remained in Tirzah. Vahamelech Asa. By the way, Tirzah had been the Tirzah was the capital city of Yerovam, because the city of Shomron that was going to be the capital has not yet been built. That's going to be built by Omri. Now. It says, "Barmelech Asa Hishmir Kol Yehuda Einaki." He made it known to all of Yehuda. Nobody was free from this. He wanted all of Yehuda to go out, mass labor, to take all of the stones and bricks and rocks that Basha had collected in order to build the big wall between Yehuda and Yisrael. They took all of that material and they built cities with it. By Yisu et Avnei HaRoma v'Teitzera, they carried the stones of Roma and all of the wood Asher Bona Basha that Basha built. By even Bar HaMelech Asa, King Asa built Geva Binyamin v'Tamitzpah. By the way, maybe It's also important. The Gemara says one of the reasons why Asa took sick at the end of his life is because he impressed into service Talmidei Chachamim to do this job. There was a Giyus Klali. He said, that's all. Yeshiva Bachim also have to schlep stones. And because he impressed into service Talmidei Chachamim, this he had no right to do. And symbolically, of course, over there, the idea was that God didn't leave him a leg to stand on. Klal Yisrael stands on the Talmidei Chachamim and those who study Torah. When you attack them, you are attacking the pillars upon which Klal Yisrael stands. There's going to be a lot of other symbolism in the idea of his legs. There are things he had to do and places he had to go, and he didn't do it. Maybe more significant than anything else, when I said that there is a precedent that he sets here, which the Rambam speaks about in a number of places in Torah, the terrible precedent that he sets over here is he is inviting an outsider into Eretz Yisrael. Ben Hadad enters Eretz Yisrael by invitation of Asa. And when there's a struggle going on between Jew and Jew, it has to be settled between the two parties. You cannot call upon anybody outside to come in and become involved in the struggle. Because the moment you do that, the moment you give an outsider an opportunity to set foot in Eretz Yisrael, you are setting the stage for the destruction of Klal Yisrael. The Ramban says it in a number of places in Chumash. He says it in Parashat Vayishlach, and there he quotes the place that it happened after this, which was the last of the kings of the Chashmonaim were Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, the two brothers. Civil war broke out, and one of the brothers invited Rome in. And he says, so that was the beginning of the destruction of the Second Commonwealth. The moment there are other powers in the world that you invite in and give them some kind of an interest in Eretz Yisrael, you're finished. Asa's terrible, tragic mistake. Now, by the way, you realize, of course, I'm not speaking politics, I'm pushing. We have to learn from history. There was a former prime minister who said that the past does not interest him, all that interests him is the future. But no, we still believe that you have to take a look at the past. Chazal condemned Asa for having taken this step. He had to negotiate with Basha. He had to talk to Basha. That's why he became king. He's the one who's supposed to heal the rift. And the healing of the rift has to begin from within first. Only if you are able to bring the two parts of Klal Yisrael here. I didn't put this perek here to learn it this week. I didn't. The perek was there. I didn't write Netanyahu's speech. But Chazal say it right here. That was the task of Asa. And in that task he failed. Not only he failed, he's the one who introduces a foreign power into Eretz Yisrael, who already have a foothold, you know how far? From Damascus up until the Kinneret. I wrote the Pesukim, I made it up. Can't do that. That's tragedy. You can't do that. Oh, it's not for me to say how he could have done it. I don't think that he has to give the treasures to him, but I think that he has to be able to open up lines of communication with him.
Why didn't he give it to them? Yeah.
They could have divided the treasure. I think you're right. He made a mistake. He made a tragic mistake. He's going to pay for the tragic mistake with his life. By the way, all of this negative stuff about Asa, if you look at the Pesukim here, you don't see it at all. You don't see it at all. That's going to be the big question we're going to have to deal with. You have to bring your Divrei Ayyamim next week. We'll see Divrei Ayyamim, and then we're going to have to take a look at the two stories. One is an extremely brief one. The whole story of Asa here is very brief, and all that we're left with in the impression is that the man was a great tzaddik. By Yas, Yosha Beni, Hashem Kedavid of it. He did that which was right in the eyes of God, as his father did. And then in Divrei Hayom, we have two whole chapters that describe so many events and so many details. And by the way, there had to be a lot that took place in 41 years. 41 years is a long reign. It's a long reign. So we're going to have to assess him. We're going to have to try and figure out, maybe in the Pesukim we find something that's going to tell us that after his terrible mistakes, maybe we'll find some kind of a hint that he did tshuva, he regretted it, and maybe therefore the assessment, you know, it ain't over until it's over. We have to then take a look at the totality of Asa's leadership. But there is so much that we can learn from every puzzle. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. All right, let me just let's just finish. We yet call Divrei finish him in Melachim, but we're first going to start him in Divrei Hayamim. We yet call Divrei Asa v'chol gvurato v'chol asher asa, and all everything of Asa and all of his greatness and all that he did. V'arim asher bana, and the cities that he built. Do you see what an assessment this is? All. He did tremendous things. It's written in the book of Chronicles, the king of Judah. Rak le'ed ziknato chalet raglav. Instead, this is all that we're told. This rak, at his old age, he had an illness in his legs. Doesn't tell us anything what it was about. Certainly nothing about the symbolism. Not what he does. There we're going to see what he does when he takes ill, and what he's going to be condemned for, and we're going to have a navi who comes to speak to him. Vayishkav Asa im avotav, vayikaver im avotav, v'yir David aviv. Do you see the symbolism in that pasuk? Fathers three times. It means that in a certain respect he may remain very faithful. Vayishkav Asa im avotav, vayigber im avotav, v'yir David aviv, vayimloch Yehoshaphat v'no tachtov, and his son Yehoshaphat becomes king in his place. It means that there's such a thing as an interim assessment. In other words, after the first 100 days or after the first 200 days, and then of course there's the assessment that comes when it's all over. Melachim may very well be giving us the totality of the assessment. Everybody makes terrible mistakes. In 41 years of rule, there's enough time to make a lot of terrible, tragic mistakes, but there's also enough time in which to do a tremendous amount. The question is, which remains ultimately his legacy? His legacy. In certain respects, yeah, they're told that late Zignato, he got sick because he brought an illness into Klal Yisrael. The idea of turning to other powers and inviting them into Eretz Yisrael, this was tragic. Tragic. He should not have done this. But we're leaving our assessment of Asa until next week. Yes, sir. I'm sure there must be. Oh, I didn't say that. No, I didn't discuss it. Okay. Who his mother is, who his grandmother is, according to some, who his great-grandmother is. Yeah. There's too much. The cup is exploding with stuff.